coming down the aisle at a combined weight of 436 pounds, the team of Jeffrey Martin, Brian Berga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
And that can only mean one thing. That means you're listening to the High Spot Podcast. Catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. For my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, I am Brian Berger. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew here. And breaking down TLC as well and talking about a lot of things, just our pro wrestling. We have a special guest today, Jeff, we're really excited about. We got John Canton, too. Jeff, how you been, man?
I'm very good, man. I just want to say, looking forward to TLC and bringing it down with you here today. High Spot Podcast, man, is where it's at.
Yes, definitely. I mean, a huge card to talk about. Also, you know, not only to do that, but everything that's leading up to this, because before you know it, WrestleMania season will be right around the corner. I know I preach it a lot. It is the holiday season, but that's my Christmas, Jeff, WrestleMania. And when it starts happening, storylines get more intriguing and plots begin to thicken. And before you know it, you start seeing the return of some people you don't see quite often around this time of year. So I just can't wait to talk to John about it, because we've had John before in the past, be a three-time guest appearance for John, which we really appreciate because he's always busy. And he doesn't do podcasts that often, so we appreciate his time. But I'm just looking forward to TLC right now, because before you know it, to me, hopefully it'll be the end of a certain rivalry, which I'm kind of over, which is Dean Ambrose and AJ Styles. Just think they need to move on from that, because it's kind of filled its luster.
I know, just real quick here too, you're also talking about, you know, Ellsworth, James Ellsworth being a part of this feud, and how much AJ Styles made kind of look to be a joke, and you know, we're not really appreciative of that, so kind of looking forward to see where this goes. But you know, at the end of the night, hopefully AJ Styles walks out still the WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
So if you guys aren't going to be able to catch TLC, make sure you guys catch it on the WWE Network. That's a free plug there for them. So we actually had time to sit down, and you know, Jeff and I run around from doing everything that we normally do during the course of the day, and we're able to sit down and talk to John Canton. And speak to him about not only TLC breaking down the card and giving our takes of what was going to happen in terms of booking, but also, you know, he had a pretty exciting couple weeks himself, or a long weekend.
He went to a Survivor Series in Toronto for the weekend and saw TakeOver. So we wanted to get to ask him that first before we got delved into the TLC card itself.
Yes, we wanted to ask him what the crowd reaction was like, the atmosphere around there, because they're really trying to build up Survivor Series, SummerSlam, and now the Royal Rumble as these basically events similar to WrestleMania, where they're just trying to give a lot of fan accessibility there, and we'll see if it was working. So, you know, John, we sit down with him, we talked about NXT TakeOver, which we thought was the best show of the weekend, and also talked about the surprise ending to Survivor Series that everybody's still talking about, with Bill Goldberg and Brock Lesnar too. So when we asked him basically what the atmosphere was like there, what was it like being in Toronto at that time of Survivor Series, this is what he had to say.
All right, we're here with John Canton from TJRWrestling.net, of course, with the John Report. John, you were one of the lucky ones to be in Canada for Survivor Series weekend. Of course, it also includes TakeOver Toronto. Just in general, your thoughts of that very controversial weekend for the WWE?
I mean, I think it was very successful in terms of getting people talking, right? Like, when you think of NXT TakeOver, what a show from top to bottom. Like the tag match, what do you guys think? Did you think the Revival versus Gargano Ciampa? I think it's like one of the best tag matches I've ever seen. Arguably the match of the year at this point.
Oh yeah, that's why I said to Jeff, match of the year. And to me, it reminded me how much I miss tag team wrestling.
It might be in the top three as far for NXT, because I still put Nakamura and Sami Zayn up there. So it still takes a lot for me to, you know, knock that down a peg, especially since we were live and watched it. But I think I would say the top three matches so far have involved, I would say Nakamura and Zayn. The other one would be the Revival and Ciampa Gargano, maybe the second one, and then maybe you know, the one in Brooklyn.
Cena Styles. I think Cena Styles from SummerSlam is probably in the top three discussion. Mm-hmm. I don't know what my match of the year is. People have been asking me every day, but I'm like, I write an awards column at the end of the year, so I'm going to save it for that.
Okay.
But I think we've been spoiled by a lot of good matches this year, so that's something we take for granted. I think that, you know, people complain about storylines and stuff like that, but in terms of match quality, the WWE is doing really well in terms of main roster, NXT, and all that. So that's one of those things where I think people are spoiled a bit, but yeah, being there live for that match, just unbelievable reactions to everything. And I'm really happy for Gargano and Ciampa, just because, you know, they're two indie guys that just made it in WWE. Like, we've seen that so many times in the last couple of years, right? Like, it's the roster's full of all-star indie wrestlers almost, and now they're WWE guys, and it's kind of cool. Like, they're 10-year veterans that have experience, so they know how to work. So it's not like they're signing guys that are former football players and you know, sticking them in the main event scene right away or whatever. So,
well, John, wouldn't you say it's the funniest thing, though, about this whole scenario is that you just said it right there, and sorry to cut you off, but I think that's the main focal point. For the first time ever that I can remember, we're having people that have been signed by WWE that have already made a name for themselves that are not WWE-made people.
Well, look at the NXT card. The takeover card, there was really not that many people that are built within the company for the future, right? It was like Nakamura, Japanese, Samoa Joe, TNA for over a decade. Mickey James, good friend of mine, we could talk about that. She was, you know, in the company, left for 6 years. She's 37 years old. She looks like, you know, she's like 10 years younger. Like, she was amazing.
She still
Asuka's
got it.
In her mid, yeah, Asuka's in her mid-30s. You look at the Revival guys, people, I saw somebody tweet Dave Meltzer, and I'm like, oh, are they going to win Rookie of the Year? And Meltzer's like, they're 12-year veterans. Like, people think they're, just because they haven't been in WWE for 10 years. Like,
I think TakeOver was a better show. Obviously, I think NXT, a lot of people know when they do the NXT shows, when you have five matches in 2.5 hours, it's easier to put on the show because, you know, you give them 15, 20 minutes. The entrances take like 5 minutes for some of the people, like Bobby Reed and Nakamura and Dillinger's even. Like, a lot of them are getting big entrances and stuff. So then the Revival and match against Gargano and Ciampa, I mean, one of the best tag matches ever, I think, and arguably one of the best matches of the year. That one, Nakamura, Zayn, and Cena Styles at SummerSlam, I think, are the big three as far as best matches go. What's the winner? We'll see at the end of the year. But it was just a fun atmosphere, and the crowd was hot all night. And when we were at the takeover show, we were like celebrating the fans just being in the building for that tag match. That's how good it was. It was like you're high-fiving random people around you. Like, that was amazing. You know, like it's like watching your favorite sports team when you, like, they get a touchdown and you're high-fiving people. You know, that's what it felt like just watching that match. So, it made it fun to be in a wrestling show, you know? Like, sometimes, you guys ever gone to, like, a Raw or SmackDown, and they have, like, maybe 20 minutes of in-ring action for the whole show?
Oh, yeah, like a lull.
Yeah, like, this week's SmackDown actually only had about 30 minutes of in-ring action. It was, like, the first 75 minutes had about 5 minutes of in-ring action. So, you never know what you can get at TV taping. That's why it's better to go to a takeover or a pay-per-view, because at least you're going to get matched, or a house show. Like, I love house shows.
Oh, yeah. I mean, NXT has proven the fact that it's for the diehard, hardcore wrestling fans like we all are, that we watch it. I mean, I don't want to see so many backstage segments. I don't want to see people come out at the beginning of the show and talk for 20 or 30 minutes because, you know what, I want to see some action in the ring. So NXT definitely brings that. I mean, it's hard to say which is your favorite match, John. I'm sure they were all great to me. They all delivered. But I really want to get into it. The whole Shinsuke Nakamura Samoa Joe match. I mean, Jeff and I, we kind of talked about it. We debated it. We kind of broke down the card and what was going to happen because we all think we're great bookers, right? Obviously, yeah. Shinsuke Nakamura lost the title. We found out there was kind of a last-minute thing that they're really kind of, at the very last second, deciding what was going to happen. Samoa Joe made history in Toronto, maybe not to the delight of the crowd because they wanted to see Shinsuke win, became the first ever two-time NXT champion. Were you okay with the way it went down, or were a lot of people let down that it was Shinsuke Nakamura losing?
Yeah, there was definitely a letdown. I think people were like, when I was there, we're in the building and we're watching that, and Joe hits the low blow and he hits the uranage on the steps, and then he goes in the ring and he hits the
muscle buster.
Yeah, and he goes for the pin, and we're just kind of like looking at each other like, is he supposed to kick out there? Like, why is he not kicking out? But the reason why they did it is because this coming Saturday they're doing an NXT event in Osaka, Japan. And I think they're going to film that match at least, not the whole broadcast, not the whole show, but they're going to film that match at least. And so the plan is they'll probably show that on NXT next week or a future week. And I assume Nakamura is going to win the title back. They'll have the title switch in Japan, so it's a big deal and treat it like a big deal, right? So I think that's why they did the talent change, just they could switch it back.
So the crowd doesn't go home happy after TakeOver, but it was a great show because you got to see the new tag team champions in Gargano and Ciampa, and a great match between Mickie James and Asuka, which, you know, stole the show. Heading into Survivor Series, another controversial matchup was Goldberg and Lesnar. John, we went through every scenario possible here on the show before, and for some reason we never, ever thought that we never even came to the idea that this, the outcome that happened would actually take place. How shocked was the Air Canada Center, and how shocked were you guys there watching that in person?
Oh, yeah, I was definitely shocked. I think it's a case of information, right? Like, when a lot of times when we know these matches are coming, we know who has a contract, who's going to be there, you know, that kind of thing. And so with Goldberg, the story going into it kind of was, oh, he's going to have one match and be gone, right? That's what we all thought. Apparently, they signed a deal before the match that Goldberg's going to be in the Royal Rumble, and we assume WrestleMania. I assume it'll be Goldberg Lesnar at WrestleMania. So, we knew that Goldberg, pardon me.
Sorry, I just said, "Oh God, Goldberg and Lesnar at WrestleMania." I'm just having remembrance of WrestleMania 20. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
Yeah, yeah. No problem. I don't believe it. But it was one of those things. Like, if we knew that Goldberg was staying, then I would have picked him to win. I don't think anyone picked Goldberg to win, but if we knew he was sticking around, then it makes sense, right? Because you want to have a shocking finish, and there's reports that Lesnar even suggested it. They're good buddies, and they want to do the match again, so they're probably going to, you know, have an interaction in the Royal Rumble, eliminate each other kind of thing, and then go to WrestleMania. So it definitely, like, was a shocking result. But also the way it happened, because, I mean, 86 seconds or whatever it was, where, you know, Lesnar shoves him in the corner, Goldberg kicks him away, hits two spears in the jackhammer, and we're done. And it's like, there was a lot of cheering. Like, if you watch the broadcast, people were cheering Goldberg and stuff, and there definitely was. But there was a lot of people chanting BS, you know, into the tune of Goldberg, because, you know, we paid for a show that was going to go from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. And it's 10:30 p.m. and we're done. And it's like, what? Like, the guys in my row that were getting a beer every match, they come back just and Goldberg's making his entrance, and they're getting their beers, and it's like, it was done. They're like, we're not even done drinking yet. They're all mad and stuff.
Obviously, the last call is different times in Canada than it is in the States.
Late, but yeah, they were definitely still serving beers that late. And so there was definitely, like, people that were mad about that, but I don't mind it. I mean, I think it's a way to protect Goldberg. Like, he probably wasn't in the kind of, didn't have enough training in terms of getting, you know, his body used to bumping and everything again. And like you said before, the match they had in 2004 was terrible. Do you think nearly 50-year-old Goldberg is going to be better or worse, right?
No, yeah, I'm sure we expect it to be a 72 or 60-second match the way it was. I just obviously don't think a lot of people thought it was going to be that way and what it's going to be done.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I got on Twitter and, you know, I should stay away from it when my emotions are high, because I thought of the streak. I thought of John Cena visiting Suplex City 16 times. I thought about Randy Orton taking the vicious elbow, and I was like, for what? But then I think about it and I let it breathe and I let it stew, and I should be, you know, stay off Twitter, but I spoke my emotions and I was mad. But then when you think about it, though, at the end of the day, it does kind of make sense, because at the end of the day, they want to, it's business. They want to make money. It prolongs the feud. So in general, hindsight 2020, John, was that the right move? Was that the way to go?
I mean, did it get people talking more than anything else on the show? Yes. So in a lot of ways, it worked. And I mean, when he was on Raw the next night and saying he's going to be in Royal Rumble, people are excited. I guarantee you that spiked sales for the Royal Rumble, right? So there's a lot of people that like Goldberg still, so why not? Like, you know, me...
Are you one of those people, John? Are you one of those people that like Goldberg?
I've never been a huge fan, to be honest. Mm-hmm. When he was making his rise, like when I was, you know, 1997, 98, I'm 17 years old kid watching wrestling, I loved it. I thought he was amazing. But then as he got older, like not older, but as he got, like, doing promos and longer matches, he was limited, right? Like, that's kind of why the mystique went away, because once you got to the top, there was only the bottom to go, and you couldn't really stay on top and be a huge draw anymore. Once the streak was ended, like, was it really him that was popular, or was it the booking, right?
Yeah, I mean, that goes both ways. Yeah, I'm sure people could say, well, it was the way he was booked that got him over. But at the end of the day, you know, you can book, for example, Roman Reigns to win every single time, and people hate his guts, especially myself included. And I'm personally just the character of Roman Reigns. So, you know, it took the individual like Goldberg to make himself that big. But to me, you know, I'm just in complete disagreement with it. I mean, despite the fact that, yeah, he signed an extension, we're probably going to see this again, unfortunately, at WrestleMania. It's going to build up towards that. I just think right now the whole mystique of what Goldberg was 12 years later has completely died off. Not granted, I know he's near his 50s. He's not going to look physically even close to what he looked like before in the past in WWE or WCW. I'm just like, really? We have a guy like Brock Lesnar who is the animal, and he loses to a guy in his near 50s. Granted, if he lost to the Undertaker, it might have been different because he's the Undertaker. But in his 50s, who, you know, at the same time, it should have been a 60-minute match because I don't think Goldberg could have gone longer than 60 minutes. He was just that gassed and winded, and he was dealing with a lot of injuries even going into the match when he had done nothing. So I don't know. I'm not agreeing with you guys
on that. We just feel that somebody should have gotten the rub, a younger guy, at the end of the day. But
like Roman Reigns?
No, not Roman Reigns. You know, just for that, John, you know, I like it, but I'm not going to do it. But just for that comment, you almost went on the list. We have a list here now on the High Spot podcast, similar to Chris Jericho's. And, you know, everything's copied in wrestling, right? So, wow. Okay. I'll let that one slide for a second.
I got a funny Roman story from Survivor Series, too.
What was it?
There's this guy sitting right in front of me. He's, like, so anti-Roman the whole show. He's like, fuck you, Roman. Like, he's swearing the whole night.
Yeah.
And just kind of going nuts against Roman Reigns. And as soon as the Shield reunion thing happens, he's one of the guys standing up and, like, high-fiving and marking out. And I'm like, dude, you were ripping Roman the whole night. And even when he was on in the ring, and I'm like, now you're celebrating like a 10-year-old kid. He's laughing. He's just like, that's pro wrestling, right?
So, it is, man.
It's hilarious, though. Like, this guy was going nuts. Like, he was so angry with Roman Reigns, just everything about him. And he's just like... And then once the Shield, you know, did the three-man powerbomb on AJ, he's going crazy. I'm like, isn't it ironic that they break up the Shield with the idea to push all three of them, and then in Roman's case, it's getting back together that would make him more popular again.
That's the loudest they cheered for Roman.
But that fan right there, John, is typical, and you can attest to this with your fellow Canadian as well, Chris Jericho, saying he's just a hypocrite. He's a hypocrite for going out there completely bashing Roman Reigns. At least I've been consistent with my bashing of Roman Reigns inside in terms of his character. But man, that guy, if I was you, I'd be like, you know what? You're a hypocrite, man. And how dare you embarrass yourself in front of all these people? But again, like you said, we're talking about wrestling here.
You know, and talking about wrestling, John, flipping ahead, because of course Survivor Series is going to put a ribbon on, and of course it did what everybody wanted to do, got people talking. And something that to me I think got people talking to last night was 205 Live. I want to talk about that for a second, because I watched that and I was like, wow, I feel like I'm watching CWC again. To me, it had that feel again, and Mauro Ranallo, Corey Graves, and Austin Aries did a hell of a job on commentary. Rich Swann became the new Cruiserweight champion. Just all in all, I think it was a very positive for the first show of 205 Live.
Yeah, I think the concern with 205 Live is going to be that people are tired after they're at a two-and-a-half-hour taping. His main event's done before. And when you see this bigger stars, the hardcore fans are gonna stick around. Guys like you and me will stick around and watch the Cruiserweight show. But the people that have a 10-year-old kid, for example, that bring their kid on a Tuesday night to SmackDown, are they gonna wanna stay till 11 PM to watch Cruiserweight action when they might not even know who the guys are because they're not main eventers on the main roster? You know
what
I mean?
My kids would. My kids would. You're not going to school tomorrow, or I'm going to write you a note. You're not going. You're watching this.
I had to watch Rich Swann. I couldn't go to school the next day.
Exactly.
Yeah, Swann's a great performer. The Grand Metal League's probably the best guy in that whole show. Like, once they really start using him, he's amazing in ring. But it's just like, I think the format of it might not work, but I understand why they want to do it live, because they want more live programming on the network. If they taped it at Full Sail like NXT, the crowd would probably be hotter. But I think airing it live is what they want to do, because they're trying to sell the network to people that's more live content coming. But yeah, I mean, the concept's good. You're putting over Rich Swann, I think it was obvious that was going to happen. You got to do a title change on the first show. There's only been 3 Cruiserweight champions in, 3 months, though? So that's kind of, I don't know.
I think it waters it down that they've been three champions so quickly.
Hey, if the women can do it, why not the why not 205 Live?
Yeah, I don't like the name 205 Live that much. I think people probably think it's an area code or something. I think it's Birmingham, Alabama or something. So people in Birmingham are probably thinking they're going to have their own TV show or something. But I think, I don't know, they don't want to call it the Cruiserweight WWE show or something. So, but, I mean, the concept of it was fine. They did three matches. They did a lot of video packages. I think they managed to use tag titles at some point just because they got the Bollywood boys. They got all these other guys that they're going to need something to do, right? So
Yeah, more titles, John.
Pardon me?
More
just
titles.
Keep adding more titles.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah,
more titles more to get at Access on WrestleMania weekend.
But it's true, yeah. Like, you got to have something for the wrestlers to go for. But, yeah, Swan and Kendrick was good. It's fine for a show, but I don't think it's going to be as good as the Cruiserweight Classic. Like, that show, that was just kind of special, the way that it was formatted, the way it was filmed, the crowd and everything. But, I mean, hey, we're getting more content that we're not paying for, right? The network, we're already paying for $9.99 for it. We're going to get it anyway. So
might as well enjoy it, right?
Network. Yeah. People complain about that to me all the time. They're like, there's too much stuff like this. Like, Survivor Series week was like, you know, a takeover Survivor Series. We're on SmackDown 4 nights in a row, whatever, how many hours it is. Like, you don't have to watch Raw right away. You can watch it at your own leisure, or you don't have to watch some of it. Read my reviews of it, and you're fine. Yeah.
Exactly.
There you go. Nice plug.
Why not? Seriously. Why bother watching it when you can just give them all the best stuff when you're writing it in your John reports?
Well, a lot of people do give me that feedback. They'll tell me, like, I only have time to watch Raw or SmackDown, and then I'll watch clips based on things that you wrote about. And I'm like, well, that's what I'm here for, I guess. But like, it is a lot to consume. Like I'm able to do this for a living, but if you're somebody that has a 9-to-5 job, and you got kids and wife, whatever, you got other responsibilities, you don't have time to sit in front of TV and watch all of it. But I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, we're spoiled. So
no, yeah, and that's something we can't even say we've been able to save for such a long time, because back then there really wasn't much. I mean, for a long time, even after the Monday Night Wars ended, it was really just WWE, and then you heard of other promotions like Ring of Honor, TNA, et cetera, et cetera. And right now, we're just saturated with all this stuff, which, you know, thanks to technology, like you said, John, we don't have to be sitting there watching it as it's going on. We can just watch it on replay, we can watch it on the network, or we could just read the John report and then go back on the internet and search YouTube.
And also listen to the High Spot Podcast and hear our take on the events that happened.
Yes, that'd be the first thing I would recommend. But then the John report, I'm joking. But talking about 205 Live, you're right, it should be more in an intimate setting. But, you know, obviously they were previewing that for a long time, trying to build it up. I think it was successful, at least for the first night. We'll see what happens as the weeks go by. But to me, what was really exciting, or kind of, it was exciting, but it was also kind of questionable to me. We saw it seems like the 700th time we've seen Sasha Banks and Charlotte battle for the Raw Women's Championship. And like, you made the comment too, like, wow, we have three cruiserweights in a period of time. I mean, how many times has the women's title flipped back and forth between Sasha and Charlotte? John, can I safely say now, or maybe give me some hope, that this is the last time, at least for a while, we'll see Charlotte and Sasha? Or because Charlotte has a rematch clause now, we're probably going to see another shot at pay-per-view. And according to the record, Charlotte's undefeated during the pay-per-views. Have we seen the last of this, or do they have one more to go?
Oh, I think they're going to have a match with LeBlanc, and I think Charlotte's going to win it back.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Because the story that they should book is Charlotte is undefeated on pay-per-view, and she shouldn't have lost it here. Like, I don't really understand why she lost it.
But also, Sasha's undefeated on Raw, too, for a women's match.
Apparently, yeah. Instead of matches. But, yeah, like, I know you guys are laughing about it, but it's true. Like, the story that I would book is that she's undefeated, she keeps going forward, and then Bayley's the one that beats her for the title at WrestleMania. Like, that's what I would do. But I thought Sasha was, like, going to get attacked by Nia Jax during the match. When they kept fighting in the crowd, I'm like, Nia Jax is going to come beat the crap out of her and Charlotte wins.
And, oh, yeah, we thought the same thing, too. We thought Nia Jax was going to interfere and it was going to lead to a whole Sasha-Nia Jax feud, and then Charlotte can kind of move away and move on to Bayley.
Yeah, but that was the thing, though. Why have a tease a feud with Bayley if they're going to go Sasha? That's why it surprised me that they went with Sasha winning the title on Monday night. So I was like, okay, I thought we were going to see Bayley and Charlotte at Roadblock. It's just, to me, what I don't like is the continuing hot potato with the women's title. I've seen everyone go, oh, this is a great match. Yes, it was a great match. And they go, oh, you know, somebody said it makes the women's title important. But how is it important when it's just being...
Yeah.
Exactly. What it does, it makes the women's division, it puts them on the map, and it makes them viable. 100%, they can main event now whenever they want. But as far as the women's title, it just makes it less because it's being, you know, tossed around so many times.
Yeah, maybe she's trying to beat Ric Flair's 16 title record or something. I don't know what she's going to do in like 2 years.
In a month, in the same month.
Yeah.
She's on the right track.
I don't know. I don't want to write that in a column and give them any ideas, but yeah. I like the girls. I think they're both awesome performers. Like you said, they can have main events, and it's not even considered a big thing anymore because it's happened twice. But the thing about the Raw match that I liked is it was more of a fight. Like, it felt more of a personal fight because they were using candlesticks and more brawling and more chops and stuff like that. So, whereas when you're in the ring doing flippy wrestling moves and stuff, like, sometimes it doesn't, you know, look like a real fight. So, I mean, when you make it look more realistic, I think it's a better match. So I thought it was a great match. A lot of their matches have been good. I think it's one of the best feuds of the year. You know, last year my feud of the year meant Johnny Ward's column was Sasha Banks and Bayley from NXT because I didn't really think anything on the main roster stood out. I don't think they're... Like, I'm probably leaning towards Styles versus Cena on the main roster because I think that was the best feud. But, I mean... this is one of the best feuds too. Like, it's pretty good performance by these women who are going to fight forever for the next 30 years or whatever, however long they're on television.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, who knows? They can continue on and on, and, you know, they'll all be great caliber matches, but just kind of wonder, is it just kind of oversaturating us too much with the same thing over and over again? Did you scratch your head? Did it make any sense when you saw Ric Flair come out and kind of just raise Sasha Banks' hand and gave her a hug to kind of end the show? I would just kind of think when Charlotte kind of threw her dad to the curb that Ric Flair was going to come back eventually at some point, but it was going to be more of maybe costing Charlotte her championship. So it was kind of weird. Do you feel like they wasted a moment there, or was it just appropriate? Because it was in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah, apparently he signed a deal. Like, there's a story on PW Insider today that he signed a deal to become a regular on Raw again. So I don't know if that means he's going to manage, or I think what's going to happen, he's going to turn on Sasha and then help Charlotte win the title. And then it's going to be like, I have to be with my daughter, right? So that's what I think is going to happen. Because why else would you come back? What's he going to do, manage Sasha Banks? It doesn't really make sense. I think they're going to put him with Charlotte again. Because the Dana Brooke thing is not really working. I think the Dana Brooke thing was something that they did because they look at Dana and it's like, okay, she's got the look. She's a, you know, bodybuilder type rest. She's done bodybuilding. She's athletic. You know, and they probably thought, okay, we can have her pair with Charlotte, turn her face, and have them feud next year, and then they probably realize Brooke's not that good in the ring. So we'll get rid of her, Charlotte's buddy, and then they'll put Rick back to Charlotte, I think. Because I think they need somebody with Charlotte just to help her cheat to win and stuff. But she doesn't really need anyone, to be honest. Like, she's grown as a performer so much this year, like in terms of promos and in-ring. Like, her and Sasha are like both in the top 10 performers this year for sure.
John, now someone that I think to me, and maybe I'm being a little far-fetched, but when we had the whole draft and they brought up a bunch of people from NXT, there was somebody that I thought that was underrated, but I think surprisingly to everybody has just done an amazing job. And right now could have been maybe the best selection. And I know when I get to this, you can be like, wait a minute, but what about Finn Balor and Alpha? But to me, one of the best picks was Alexa Bliss to SmackDown, because I got to give credit is due. Alexa Bliss has taken... You know, listen, didn't win the NXT championship in NXT, but has come up to the main roster and has found a place, and I think is a great heel, and I think is deserving of becoming the NXT of becoming the women's champion on SmackDown.
Yeah, and I think Carmella is really good too. I think they're both done a great job, both better than I thought too, because both of them were mostly faces in their careers before. Well, Bliss was more of a heel, but. But Carmella was a face the whole time, and she really annoyed me as a face that, like, I don't know, I was just bored by her. But, like, when she turned heel this year, I mean, she's been really good, I think. And Bliss is even better. And Bliss is kind of like the Trish Stratus kind of thing, where it's like, okay, hot chick that's short. Like, she's 5 feet tall, I believe. And so you think of her as an underdog, right? Because she's the smallest girl on the show.
Yeah.
But she has this aura about her, and she's got the look. And I don't know, man. You're right. Like, she's found something, and she's found the look. She's found the in-ring skills to pull it off, and I think she could definitely win the women's title. Like, I think Becky Lynch is going to win. Maybe we'll do a preview of that. But, I'm fine if Bliss wins, because, like you said, she's one of the most impressive people since the bracelet, for sure. And it's kind of out of nowhere, like you said. Like, I don't think people had her on the radar, but, you know, she's been pushed way better than my guy Sami Zayn, for example.
Oh, man. It's not his fault. It's just they don't
know what to do with him.
Neville. They don't even know Neville's on the roster. They have a cruiserweight show.
I know. That's how sad is that right now. I mean, in terms of talent-wise, when it came to the draft, I always kind of thought that, wow, you have a deep roster in terms of Raw. You wonder what they would do with guys like Adrian Neville and Sami Zayn. And it's just like right now, in my opinion, they just don't know what to do with them, which is weird. In a three-hour format, you don't know what to do with them.
Yeah.
Especially when Sami Zayn had that great speech from Mick Foley and Mick Foley's teeth fell out during the segment.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah.
Listen.
All I got to say, he just kind of goes through like nothing happened. Like, it was amazing. He throws it down. That was awesome.
A true artist, a true guy that doesn't let your teeth coming out, you know, stop him from a good promo, which is good. I like where they're going with Zayn and Foley. At least Zayn's doing something. But you watch Zayn, you watch Neville, you watch guys like that and Cesaro, like, maybe not have the time.
They make it look so easy.
Yeah, but you have guys like, for example, like Neville and Zayn that, you know, you're looking for time. But then you go to SmackDown, and again, listen, nothing against the guy. I like him. I like James Ellsworth. But when you see a guy like that get pushed, you know, nothing towards James Ellsworth. I love him. God bless him for what he's doing and for taking the opportunity that was given to him, right?
Because that's
what you say.
It.
Take the opportunity that's given to you, right? And but when you see someone like that get pushed, you wonder, man, why can't Zayn or Neville either go to SmackDown or get pushed like that?
What about Apollo Crews?
Apollo Crews. Miz made a great point last night saying, Apollo Crews. We don't know anything about Apollo Crews.
Yeah. Again, why did you call him up when you don't have any plans for him? Like, I think with Apollo Crews, it was like Vince McMahon sees this guy, and he's, you know, not a huge NXT guy, but he looks at Apollo Crews like, physique's awesome. We got to get him on SmackDown or Raw. Okay, and then they don't have anything for him. And it's just like, if he was in NXT for the whole year, wrestling the likes of Bobby Roode, Nakamura, Joe, and if he was in that mix, he would be better off than where he is now, because they could have developed his personality and done something with him.
But definitely then, needed more polish in NXT.
Yeah, and then you look at a guy like Ellsworth, and like you said, he's not a bad performer or anything, but it's a joke character and everything. I think Ellsworth is going to accidentally cost Ambrose the title.
Yes, that's what I thought too.
I mean, that's where the angle has to go. If it's not that, then I'll be surprised.
What's the payoff, John? Because you want a guy like Ellsworth, you pay to see him get his ass kicked. Right, so to me, you build him up as a guy that, you know, that costs Ambrose the title and becomes they turn him to AJ, and he thinks he's an invincible heel, and everybody just wants him to get beat up, and then Ambrose, you know, you can have a payoff where he takes on actually Ellsworth in a main event for SmackDown, actually, which I think people would see because they want to see Ellsworth get his butt kicked. He could be like a Ralphus to Chris Jericho.
Eugene
2.0, yeah. Eugene 2.0, that's awesome.
I love the comment where they said he looks like a turtle without a shell. that is amazing, on point.
I mean, I don't think he cares that they made fun of him. He's like, I'm getting paid now.
I'm getting paid, man.
Yeah, exactly. Like, take all the shots you want. As long as he's getting money in the bank, that's all that matters. But, you know, leading into that, John, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but, you know, that leads into, you know, the pay-per-view TLZ, which, you know, like Jeff said, I don't mind James Ellsworth at all, but right now I feel like he's taking a lot away from this whole AJ Styles Dean Ambrose rivalry. I feel like right now the whole situation is they're kind of making AJ Styles look like a joke, which he's not. He obviously has all the tools to be where he is in the position he is right now. But, you know, let's talk about the main event right now, which is for the WWE World Title, Dean Ambrose and James Ellsworth. You already said it too. You kind of think,
is Dean Ambrose and AJ Styles.
Yeah, exactly. Dean Ambrose and AJ Styles with James Ellsworth in there. Sorry, Jeff. I always feel like he needs to correct me. We mishear something that I say. But you said that's going to probably end up James Ellsworth costing Dean Ambrose it the match. Do you really see any other scenario besides that working itself out at TLC?
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to do a title change. I think we all know that AJ's the best performer in the company, I think, this year. Like, as much as I love Kevin Owens and Jericho and some other guys that have good years, I think AJ's, you know, at that level with Shawn Michaels, Kurt Angle in their prime kind of thing in the last 20 years. Like, he's so good all around in terms of talker, even everything. And so, I mean, if it was me, I would have AJ hold the title until WrestleMania. I don't know who he's going to face, whether it's John Cena or maybe the new Cena Undertaker. What I would do is you have Ambrose accidentally loses the title because of Ellsworth, because there's no reason to put it back on Ambrose. Like, what's the point? And then what you could do is, at the end of the show, AJ's in the ring celebrating, the Undertaker's gong hits, he comes out, gives AJ a chokeslam or a tombstone or whatever, then they do AJ versus Undertaker Royal Rumble. And it's going to lead to people thinking, oh, maybe the Undertaker's going to win the title, Cena wins the Rumble, you could do that, arrest me for a title, and Cena goes for the record against the Undertaker. Or you do Cena Undertaker without a title involved, you don't really need a title involved for that match. Or you do Cena and Styles, because Styles is the guy that Cena has never beat, right? Cena hasn't been able to beat him in a singles match. He's beat him in tags and stuff. So there's a lot of ways it can go. So I think that's kind of what we all look forward to. And that's the exciting thing about this time of year. You know, as we get to December, you know, it's not necessarily a hot time of year, but the Royal Rumble's on the horizon, so you can kind of try to map things out in your head, right?
Yeah, we definitely anticipate things going on. I want to bring up that point you just made. I've been hearing rumors, too, about possibly AJ Styles and The Undertaker, and, like, all scenarios work themselves out. But, again, if it's not if it's not The Undertaker against John Cena for the title, like you said, you don't need that type of match to have the title on the line, and AJ is going into WrestleMania as the champion. He's not going to face The Undertaker nor Cena at WrestleMania. Who else on this roster do you think on SmackDown could compete against AJ Styles, and really, if not, have AJ drop the title to them?
That's the thing. Like, that's why I would have Zayn or Cesaro on SmackDown and build them up as a face, and then they face AJ Styles, right? That's the value of having AJ Styles. He's an incredible world champion. That's a top heel. That could have a great match with anyone. So if he built up somebody like Sami Zayn on SmackDown, he would be ready for that spot. But sadly, that's not going to happen. Like, it could happen, but I don't think so. You could call Samoa Joe and Nakamura up right around the Rumble and have them face AJ. I think that would work, either one of them. I don't know what's going to happen, to be honest, and that's okay. Like, it's okay not to know, right? We want to see it play out. There's a lot of possibilities of what may happen. So I think Kevin Owens will probably face Balor at Mania, just assuming Owens holds it. So I'm just trying to forecast it in my head who's facing him. Because I think Seth Rollins will do Triple H. I think that's what Triple H has been on the sidelines for so long. He'll probably cost Rollins Rumble or something like that, and then that way they could have a Mania match, because that whole storyline hasn't been followed up on at all, which is a big problem with Raw. They don't really follow storylines very good.
That's just one of the problems, yes.
And then, so, I don't know, like, who's going to face AJ at WrestleMania?
That's a head-scratcher right there, right?
Who else can they build? Like, the other guy that I would think of is Randy Orton, but what I thought, like, a few months ago is that Orton would be AJ's opponent in January and February, right? Because he's an incredible guy. AJ can't get past him. But I think Orton's going to be locked in with Bray. They'll probably win the titles. They'll do a split in, like, February or something, and Orton will turn face, and they'll have a WrestleMania match. So I think that's why they need The Undertaker, because they need AJ to have an opponent. And I think if you're The Undertaker, you're looking at AJ, and, like, this guy's an amazing performer. I could have some good matches with him. So, because when you think of The Undertaker's career, who's his best opponent? Kurt Angle, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, right?
Yeah.
Guys that are around AJ's size, he's even smaller than those guys. But that's when Undertaker's at his best, when he's got a guy to bump his ass off. And Undertaker looks like a powerful badass. But The Undertaker does sell well. So, I mean, he probably has a good match or two left in him with AJ Styles. So, who wants to see AJ Styles with the Styles Clash with Undertaker? So there you go.
Oh, man. If he could do that.
I don't
that.
Think he's going to take the Styles Clash.
Yeah, nor do I think that AJ could probably put him that one without having Undertaker's head hit the mat even before he does the Styles Clash.
Yeah, that'll be pretty hard to do. But that's like a cool match, though. You know what I mean? Like,
no, yeah,
you
definitely.
You got to do stuff like that. So, like I said, though, like, I don't know what you guys think AJ might do. You could answer, but I like not knowing, and I think sometimes online people want to know everything. They want to get the answers before it happens, and I like not knowing.
Oh yeah, everybody just wants to book. Everybody just thinks that they can book the match. That's what it is, and then they want to see if you know if they're right or wrong, and that's why the intrigue is. John, unfortunately, we're in a. I guess we need all information now. We become that kind of society where, like, we need everything right away. We don't have, you know, patience. We don't like letting things, you know,
play themselves out.
That's the world, man. Like, we're all spoiled and all that kind of stuff. Back in the, like, I was remarking with a friend, in the early 90s, the only wrestling we used to get, like, here was, like, an hour of WWF Superstars on a Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m., and if you don't watch it live or record it, you don't get to DVR it. You don't get to do anything like that. Either you watch it live or you VHS it, and then, you know, you hope your siblings let you watch it because you have one TV between four of you.
Exactly. And, the one you still have to turn the knob on and fix the antenna to get good reception.
Rabbit ears.
Back then, but yeah, not that bad in the early 90s. But you know what I mean? Like, we're spoiled with how much we get, and we always want more. And then, you know, when you get more, it's not good enough. So what are you going to do?
Well, that's not the only title that, you know, we can kind of scratch our heads and figure out what's going to happen. I think we kind of have an idea what's going to happen with the world title match, how that leads into the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. Again, like, sometimes it's good not to know that. But in terms of this TLC pay-per-view coming up, and we got the women's title, we just spoke about Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss, how great Alexa Bliss has been doing. Who do you got going over on that one?
I think Lynch will win, but the thing is when you have a tables match, mm-hmm. you can have a fluky finish kind of thing, right? So you could have, like, the segment they did on SmackDown, Lynch is in control, and then Bliss kind of shoves her off and takes the back bump to the table. And like you guys were saying earlier, like, when Alexa Bliss, when you look at her, she's really impressed. And I think management will be like, okay, if she wins the title, it will really help her. I think Becky's already established. People like Becky. And having her chase the title would be a good story. I think Becky's going to retain, but I wouldn't be shocked if they do a switch. Because then you could do Alexa against Becky again. You could do Alexa against Nikki Bella, who's a credible opponent. I know people don't like Nikki Bella, some of them, or maybe not, but I like looking at her, and I think she's a good performer. So I don't really mind Nikki Bella, but there's people annoyed with the Bellas, and I totally get it. But then you could build up Naomi as a future challenger, because she has still yet to break through as a champion. So if you want to put the title on Bliss, that's something you can book for the future.
Taking the title off Lynch doesn't hurt her at all, because she doesn't really need the title.
Yeah, she's going to chase him. Plus, she's a honey badger, so she'll probably win.
And if you look at the way they booked the women's title on Raw, they like title changes in women's matches. So maybe, do you guys think Bliss might win? I'm not picking her, but I think it's possible.
I'm actually kind of picking Bliss to win right now, and they've been building her up. It's kind of a scenario, too, where it just makes sense because, like I just said before, Becky Lynch doesn't really need the title. She's better as a chaser anyway. She's, as Jeff mentioned, the honey badger.
I was going to say Bliss until we all found out that Becky Lynch is a honey badger.
Yeah, what that meant,
once she told us that, then I found out, you know what, I better put my money on Becky Lynch. Not that I bet on wrestling or anything, but just that I should just go with Becky Lynch.
Yeah, I mean, I think Becky's a lot of fun to watch, and I'm glad she's doing well. She actually did an interview recently, and she's like, I wrestled as a heel for most of my career, and it's like, when you watch her as a face, it's like, she's just a natural face that you don't even think of her as a heel. But
she's a natural face because of her personality and just the way she is in general. But yeah, I think she prefers probably, as everybody does, prefers to be a heel. Like, Jeff's a heel every time we're working because I just want to beat him up.
Oh, he wants to wring my neck. Luckily, we're separated by a few feet here, so there's no issues with that. How about the other women's match, though? Nikki Bella and Carmella, no DQ. That should be interesting to see what happens. Will Nikki Bella put Carmella over, or does this continue, or does Nikki Bella just, you know, wipe out Carmella?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this one, and you remember the story in Survivor Series where Nikki gets injured and Natalya fills in for her, and we cheered Natalya because she's Canadian and we love her.
Oh, yeah.
And
not the fact that...
They didn't even mention it on SmackDown this week. They mentioned it the 2 days after Survivor Series, but they didn't even mention it this week at all. So it's like, did they drop the angle? Is it even a storyline still? So, I mean, if it's a storyline, then obviously Natalya was the one that attacked Nikki. So since they're doing no disqualification, I think something might happen where Natalya comes out and helps Carmella win because it's no disqualification. So it wouldn't hurt Nikki to put somebody over by, you know, losing in a cheap way. So that's what I think is going to happen. But it wouldn't shock me if Nikki wins clean either, because this is a storyline going on, what, 3 months now? I think she started attacking her after SummerSlam.
No, yeah.
It's been 3 months, so you could kind of see Nikki ending this, the feud by winning, but I think I would put Carmella over and have Natalya be the reason for it, and maybe have Natalya and Carmella as kind of a heel alliance or something.
I agree with that. What about you, Jeff?
Well, I believe that, you know, Carmella should go over. I think that having Natalya, you know, help out, I think makes perfect sense. It just makes Carmella more of a heel. So I think the right way to go is have Carmella win. And I'm gonna say Carmella wins, but I wouldn't be surprised if Nikki Bella just wipes her out, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of things that, you know, are going to wipe out, or it feels like it's been 3 months in the making, this rivalry. I mean, another title will be on the line is the IC title in a ladder match. I mean, we know the IC title has been synonymous with ladder matches. Got The Miz going against Dolph Ziggler. For the last time, they've mentioned it countless times, in case we forget, this will be the last time these two will go win, lose, or draw. And this outcome right now, I can't really see The Miz, and I can't believe I'm saying this, really lose this, because I think he brings a lot of validity behind that title. And if it's for Dolph, what's it going to be? Dolph winning and just being one and done again, losing it to somebody else. So I really got Miz on this one. I want to get what's your take on this match and the outcome, John?
I'm leaning towards Ziggler, just because the stipulation thing that they keep mentioning, that it's going to be the last match. So then Miz has something to bitch about, right? Because he always has something to bitch about Daniel Bryan. It's like, you don't let me get a rematch or whatever. So that's where I'm leaning, because I think Ziggler is better with it. Like, I think Miz is fine with the title, but he kind of could be elevated at some point too. And I think Ziggler is kind of more... like, maybe you want to put Ziggler against Baron Corbin as a feud for that style. Like, I'm just trying to forecast who might feud with who after this. So it wouldn't shock me if you have the babyface Ziggler win the feud, because it would help him more. Because when you think of the No Mercy match, the way that they built that up with the retirement angle and all that stuff, the crowd loved Ziggler that night more than I've ever heard him love Ziggler, except when he won the title in New Jersey in WrestleMania 29, the night after, you know, when he cashed in Money in the Bank. But you know what I mean, though? They love Ziggler that night. And I don't know, I just feel like there's going to be a title change here. But I could be wrong. It's just my guess.
You wrong, John? Come on, man. Come on. Give yourself more credit, dude.
You know what? I was wrong about so many matches at Survivor Series. My preview was terrible.
But still worth reading, though.
It doesn't mean I thought it was a bad show or anything. It just means my predictions were off. But there's been many shows where I get like every match right or one match wrong. Like, we know how wrestling works. We know how a lot of the WWE booking scenarios are. So I don't know who's going to win that match. Like, that's kind of what I like, though. I like not knowing if it's going to be Cedar or if it's going to be Miz. So.
Well, speaking of a match of not knowing, though, I mean,
what do you
guys
pick for that one?
Well, I got The Miz. What do you got, Jeff?
You know what? I think it's going to be actually a match that could steal the show, because the ladder match, and they have good chemistry with one another. Ziggler, to me, I just don't think he's going to win, because if next week he shows up and then the Spirit Squad's out there again, I've lost all passion. So I'm going to say The Miz wins it, because he's just on a roll right now as one of the top heels.
And we get more Maurice. Maurice is tremendous. You know, if it was me booking, I would have done more long-term booking, like where somebody, Ziggler gets like a woman to like counter Maurice. But then again, Ziggler has a lot of bad history with women, valets and stuff, like the Lana thing, Summer Rae, Vicky Guerrero, a lot of AJ Lee, a lot of them didn't work out for him. So I guess maybe it's just, you know what I mean, though? Like, it just needs something in the storyline. Like, Maurice has costed the title multiple times, and he doesn't do anything about it. Like, he's not going to hit her, but, you know, there's no consequences for the actions, and there's no follow-up and stuff. So,
no, I completely agree.
It should be a good match. I don't think it'll be the best match, because the TLC match will probably be the best match. But.
Okay, that's fair enough. I mean, a match I think that everybody just hopes it's done and over with as soon as possible. Baron Corbin, Kalisto. I got Baron Corbin on that one. I mean, I don't think we need to dive into this or draw too much, because neither one. I mean, I like Kalisto, but I'm not investing in Baron Corbin. I think every time I see a Baron Corbin, I just flip the channel or fast forward myself. So I got Baron Corbin in this one. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, Corbin probably would. And if Ziggler wins the title, then he'll probably be Corbin. But I know they kind of had a mini feud already, but I think they can go back to that.
Yeah.
I would put Kalisto on the Cruiserweight division. I think he's miscast where he is, because if you had Kalisto and Neville working with those guys in the Cruiserweight division, it would help, because they're actually more over with the crowd than a lot of those other guys. So. Yeah,
and they got talent. That's a big thing.
I'm going to take Kalisto here, because if he can be right back, I figure he could beat Baron Corbin, because Baron Corbin looks like right now like miscast and stuff like that. I'm gonna say they still miscast him and make him, what should be so obvious here in Baron Corbin winning, I say they'll make Kalisto win, and then you'll leave you scratching your head even more, being like, what? Next one.
Yeah.
The whole rivalry I've been scratching my head, though. But let's move on real quick to the tag team championship match.
That's not a bad idea, by the way.
Yeah. What's not a bad idea?
I said Kalisto winning just to surprise people. I don't mind it. I just don't think it'll happen, but I don't mind it.
Oh, yeah, and as of right now, the WWE has done a great job of like really switching it up and us not really anticipating that was the way it was going to go. NXT TakeOver, yeah. A perfect example of that one. But moving on to the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championships, Slater and Rhino, a group that, oh, my God, it's like the Rock and Sock Connection. It just caught on fire. I'm not comparing it to them, but it's just caught on fire. They're so over against Orton and Wyatt. I kind of agree. We kind of mentioned before earlier when we were talking, I see Wyatt and Orton kind of winning this, which I feel bad because, you know, Slater and Rhino have some momentum here, and I could just see them carrying it for a little bit longer. And if you give it really to Orton and Wyatt, I mean, to me, they're not really a tag team. You're just putting two stars together. So I see those two walking out as champs. What about you, Jeff?
Well, what I think is that I think Bray Wyatt finally wins a title in the WWE. I think he finally gets a tag team.
Not on his own.
Yeah, he gets the tag team title with Randy Orton. I think what this does is this will cause more of a rift between Harper and Wyatt and Orton. So I think it's all a setup, though. I think Orton's main plan is to, you know, turn on Bray Wyatt, but I think this prolongs the the storyline between them. And as sad as I am to see Slater and Rhino lose the titles, I think that they're going to go in that direction. And yeah, I see Bray Wyatt finally winning a WWE title.
What are your thoughts, John?
Yeah, I mean, you can't have Bray and Randy lose to these guys. They won the Survivor Series elimination match in impressive fashion. They beat American Alpha in impressive fashion. You cannot have them lose to Slater and Rhino with the titles online. I just don't see that happening. You got to put over the more main event caliber guys like Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt. And, you know, they're both third-generation wrestlers, right? They both have a lot of history, but WWE won't mention that with Bray Wyatt. They don't want to mention who his daddy is, IRS, and his grandpa, Blackjack Mulligan, and all that. But they both come from similar backgrounds when you think of it. They're wrestler babies almost, you know. They grew up in the business, and it's a cool kind of thing when you think of it that way. But, yeah, I think Randy will turn by, you know, February or March to set up a WrestleMania match. So.
Well, before you know it, though, John, WrestleMania season will be right around the corner. The year will be over. I'm sure you'll be giving your list of top matches of the year in 2016. So will Jeff and I. We'd love to have you back on during that time, too, if time allows, because we know you're a busy guy. Anything else we got to look forward to, man, that you're looking forward to after TLC? I mean, you know, Roblox coming up right after that, before you know it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Too many, man.
Well, the thing is, it's like we talked about earlier, like, is there too many? Yes, but at the same time, it's not costing us more. Do you remember when we had to pay $50 for a pay-per-view? Like, that's different.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have been ordering them, you know. I'd rather spend $50 on, you know, a couple of meals during the week or something, you know? Like, the fact that it's only 33 cents a day for WWE Network is pretty...
Oh, he broke it down in sets. Oh, my God. Are you on payroll?
Yeah.
He admitted it. Here on the High Spot Podcast, he admitted it.
$9.99, 33 cents a day. Oh, man, John. Don't tell me.
It's true, though. No,
you're right. You're right.
And what's bad of that is when you order a pay-per-view that's $50, John, right, and it's a pay-per-view, you probably second-guess and be like, man, I really shouldn't have wasted $50 on this one. Yeah, that's the worst thing you could possibly do.
I mean, I've reviewed every Survivor Series this month. I've been posting them on Tijeras, and it's going into December because I wasn't able to finish them, but... there's some of those shows and matches where it's like, this is kind of boring and stuff, but when you think of the network, it's like, I'm able to just, you know, look it up and just watch it and write about it, and it's so much easier than getting the disc or buying a DVD or whatever, or getting a tape and having to watch it that way. So, there's a lot of shows and there's too many shows in a lot of ways, but it's not costing us more, so I don't, I don't mind it too much. But yeah, looking forward to the end of the year. My Johnny Awards column is probably my favorite thing I write. Usually about 8,000 to 10,000 words, depending on what I feel like. And I usually do polls on TJ Wrestling, so we'll do that in the month of December to get people to vote on them. I'll post the results of those polls plus my choice. My choice is the winner, not the reader's choice. You kind of look back on the year, and I think it's been a good year in terms of wrestling, like in-ring action. But in terms of major events, angles and stuff, it's been really bad. Like, they just don't do anything big anymore.
No, I completely agree with that, John. And again, if you guys want to pick up on a lot of stuff that John does, I mean, like I said before, you're sleeping under a rock if you don't know who John Canton is. Obviously, catches his the John Report on Roger.com, especially TGR Wrestling as well. And guys can follow all the stuff he does on Twitter at John Report as well. John, thank you so much for coming on, man. Really appreciate it. And again, we could just talk to you for hours and hours, but we both know you're a busy, busy man.
I know you made it big when you have your own T-shirt, so. Right?
The T-shirts are available. Yeah, for wrestling tees that comes with TJ Wrestling, there's like 7 shirts. It's pretty funny that the people buy them, and I've seen them at wrestling shows. And I was wearing my shirt at the Toronto shows, and people were marking out when they saw me. So that's cool. It's nice to, you guys know how it is. Like you have a lot of friends in your life, but maybe most of them are growing out of wrestling once you hit your 20s and 30s, right?
Yeah.
So to be able to have this community and be able to talk to you guys and interact with people on Twitter and Facebook, I love it. I still have a lot of fun doing it. And, when you see it at the live events, it's a lot of fun too.
Yeah, we are talking to John Canton from the John Report. Again, also follow him. You'll also check out his stuff on TGRWrestling.net. John, thank you so much, man. Hey, listen, one more thing before we go is you got to have us on your show now.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I'll book
you. Have your people call my people.
We don't have that many guests, but I mean, we could bring some of them out. We just usually just have myself and my buddy, but because when you have 4 people, sometimes it's tough to understand who's talking. You can't see each other and give cues and stuff, So.
Or let's get in on your awards and a little prediction and have other perspective or point of view. But John,
I'll come on before the end of the year if you want.
Yes,
we gotta have you. We'd love to have you on there and kind of discuss our end of the year awards as well.
For sure.
All right.
Happy to do that.
John, take care of yourself, man. Talk to you in the future.
Okay, guys. Take care. Have a good holiday season and all that.
Thanks, man. And a huge thank you goes out to John Canton. Again, follow him on TGRWrestling.net and at The John Report. So a lot of interesting stuff. I mean, we talked some 205 Live, talked some Raw and SmackDown, of course, his takeover and Survivor Series weekend. And, of course, we got into a little bit of the TLC card rundown and, lots of interesting things that we heard from John. But, we'll find out in just a matter of moments as TLC comes to you live this Sunday. So a lot of intriguing stuff, Brian.
A lot of intriguing stuff and a lot of things to look forward to as the weeks and months go by. Before you know it, it will be April right around the corner, and a lot of things to build itself up and to play themselves out as well. So, we just thank John for that as well. And again, if you guys want to be supportive of John as well, you guys can obviously get a lot of his merchandise, which Jeff and I are going to get. You guys can go to prowrestlingtees.com/TJR Wrestling as well. We have to help support our
boys.
Gotta buy the shirt, man. And we definitely will. But again, special thanks goes out to John and Jeff. Looking forward to this weekend. Looking forward to TLC to see how all these storylines end. But before you know it, it's going to be it's pretty interesting to see what's going to happen in the world title picture once it all plays itself out.
It's going to be really interesting, man. Again, hopefully AJ Styles comes out on top. And just a quick shout out to Ring of Honor. We need to acknowledge their pay-per-view on Friday, Final Battle. Congratulations goes out to Kyle O'Reilly for becoming the Ring of Honor champion after a great matchup with Adam Cole. And again, also too, one of the matches that stole the show was the Young Bucks and the Briscoes. Shout out goes out to them. And of course, also sounds like the Young Bucks have signed another 2-year extension with Ring of Honor in New Japan. So sorry, WWE, you got to wait a couple more years, but maybe it's better for everyone in the business itself.
I think it's better for us for the fact that we would just be afraid that they wouldn't know what to do with the Young Bucks. So, like I said, 2 more years before there. But again,
super kick!
how much do contracts mean nowadays in professional wrestling, especially when, you know, the money's on the line. So we'll see what happens. We would love to see the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega be part of the WWE family. But
one day. They all end up there.
Yeah, we're not going to rush too much about that. But Jeff, like I said, it's been great talking to you, man, breaking down this card. So I just can't wait to look forward to this and see what's going to happen, especially afterwards when we start breaking down what happened.
And don't forget, next week we have the TLC recap and some goodies for you guys. And maybe we might bring back the list because it's been in high demand too. So next week, TLC recap. I'm looking forward to that as well, man. High Spot just keeps on rolling.
Keeps on rolling, and so do we. We are the Jersey Ranking Crew. For Jeff Martin, I'm Brian Berga. You've been listening to the High Spot Podcast. Again, follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast as well, because after listening to this episode, your life is just too sweet.